Recorded live.
So I was just wondering, you know, if that's what it is, if the warning signs are there and we're just not seeing it. Or is it something that you saw through somebody else and now your wife has picked that up, a family member?
Has it occurred to you that sometimes you're being spoon-fed information, rationed, broken down, certain things are being held back because, you know, you may not be able to accept it or be mature enough to handle it?
Yeah.
That's why certain things come out later. And that's
right.
Vice versa. I mean, there's certain things, you know, men do and men like and that they don't bring up. You know, because it might not be appropriate for the woman that, you know, brought home the mama. You know, so you try to find a way to slide it in there.
You pick your turn.
Yeah, and I think it works. It works that way on both sides of the thing. Just like last week, somebody was talking about, you know, women want variety, and even though, you know, that was, you know, somebody was saying that they may not have had too much of a clue what they were talking about, but you got to think that. That may be the case in your house, and you just don't know because it hasn't been expressed.
Women want variety. I mean, I was always told that women want, you know, one man. And is that what we're looking for? Do you know your spouse? Is that spouse Dr. Heck or Mr. Hyde, is your spouse, let me just go ahead on and put it out here. Is she a lady in the streets and a freak in the bedroom? Is that what you're looking for? Or is she just a lady all the time?
A good question. And I'm pretty sure there's a textbook answer to that one. I don't know if that's what you want.
No, I don't need the textbook answer. The textbook answer is what got us in trouble in the first place. I want to know the truth. And does she, but the thing is does your wife know that she's supposed to be these two different people? She's supposed to be a Dr. Heckler and a Mrs. Hyde when it comes to bedroom. Or does she only supposed to be a lady in the room? Because when we go on, we boyfriend, girlfriend, it's anything goes. We all over the place. But do we have that expectation when we get married that that's how it's supposed to be? That's the standard in this house. You did it before we got married. We're going to keep that same standard when we get married. Because I remember a couple calls back where a lot of gentlemen on the call said that's just not how it is in their house anymore.
I think the most important thing is to for them to be comfortable to be themselves, whatever that is. I think that's more of a task than anything else, feeling comfortable around you. So.
But
that falls back on us.
It falls back on you. So it goes back on the man.
For sure. Just like everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you want that same person from the beginning of your marriage that you want right now? You should have these issues growing through your marriage because your marriage is constantly growing, right? So when it's constantly growing, you're going to find new issues a concern. For instance, I'll talk about myself. There was a time where I was just a worker bee, right? Go to work at 9, home at 5:30. Everything was lovely. We were able to cook dinner. You know, even sometimes I would cook dinner the night before because the wife wouldn't work. So when she get home, all she had to do was warm it up. I'd get home, we all eat, right, at the table all together as a family. Okay? Now, that growth has now got you me at a different level in my job, where now I'm coming home 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, unable to cook that dinner the night before. You know, the wife has all the responsibilities in the house. It's a totally different wife now, because now instead of us sharing the responsibility of making sure the kids get fed, kids' homework is getting done, all that responsibility is on her now. Is that part of her negativity that sometimes comes across to me? I think so. But did I know that when we first got married that this was going to be? No. So, I was just wondering, am I the only one?
Good question.
I mean, because I'm assuming our life changes. Our time changes. And because we change, that's why some of the issues we have now in our marriage is not the same issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you don't have the exact same job tone that you did about 5 years ago.
No, not 5 years ago.
Hmm. So I'm assuming you're not bringing home the exact same income you did 5 years ago, right?
A little different.
A little different, but 5 years now ahead of time, you know, you have a different type of financial situation than you did 5 years ago, too, right?
Yeah.
Which brings probably more stress and more drama than it did 5 years
ago. No, I mean, I wouldn't say that because we found, you know, a way to handle that portion of it
early.
Without letting it, you know, create too much stress and havoc on it.
But that's that communication you had early on that so you wouldn't have these issues 5 years later. You kind of nipped that in the bud early.
Well, I mean, you know, I got to put my work in. The other times I got to put my work in the relationship. You know, I think a lot of people fall short because they take on these big demanding jobs and they're tired and then the extra time they don't put their work in. Into the relationship, so that's where, you know, the issues come in.
Anybody else want to chime in? Rodney? Believe
yes, sir.
I asked you the same question. You know, are you having any issues now in your marriage that you didn't have at the beginning of your marriage? You got two young girls now.
Yeah, and that's become, I don't know if issue is the right term to use. I would say adjustment.
Okay.
Because, you know, in the beginning it was just us, and when we were dating and early in the marriage it was just us, and a lot of, you know, with the commitments we have at our jobs, you know, it's a balance, and it's, you know, it's hard to, you have to make sure that you keep that work-life balance. And it's more difficult, you know, when you have children, whereas it's like, you know, if you do happen to be out of town or whatever or can't, you know, as you say, you're getting in at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, not able to get that quality time in. At least like the next night you can say, hey, let's catch a movie, let's go to dinner, and you ain't got to worry about, you know, who's going to watch the kids and stuff like that, you know, early on in a relationship. So, you know, literally, it's, the dynamics have changed, you know, so, you know, kids have definitely played a role, you know, in that. And you just, it's just a workaround. You just got to figure out new stuff to do, you know, as far as that's concerned.
Well, was there anything that you found out after getting married? Anything that you found out about after you getting married that you wish you would have known thoughts before your mind was made up that this is the one? That this is your soulmate?
I would say no.
Now that you know where you are in your marriage now to where you were when you were younger?
Yeah, I have to say no. Because as we discussed earlier, you know, I haven't the deal breaker, quote unquote, hasn't come up yet. So, you know, to answer that question, I would have to say no.
All right. So
yeah,
let me throw this situation. Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yeah, I agree with him on that in my situation. Because you know, it is for better or for worse. I mean, you know, we got to live for that. And again, the deal breaker hasn't come up as of yet. So, and then you gotta ask yourself, you know, is there a deal breaker?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a good question. Is there a deal breaker? Is something that could come up that can make you bail out?
Hey, you know, and I'm gonna talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. Is deal breaking, because I have a motto. You know, if we can 10 arguments, major arguments a year, I'm winning two of them. Two of them are marriage breakers. They deal breakers. That means I'm winning no matter what. Because I'm calling these deal breakers. Now, I'll allow you to win every single other marriage. I apologize. But two of them out of the 10, I got to do a Tony because I said so.
But no, a deal breaker is something that will lead you to papers. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why you don't get too many a year. You got to pick You got to pick your choices, though.
Yeah.
You got to pick those. Well, listen to this scenario. My wife is the most beautiful woman when we first met. That's what attracted me to her. However, man, she does not get herself ready. She just walks around the house in an old T-shirt. There's no lingerie coming to bed. Hair's wrapped up all the time. What happened? It's like she gave herself up on me. What's that all about?
$64 million question.
What happened to the lingerie? I walk in the house, bam, lingerie. Let's make things happen. Now is the hair wrap, makeup, you know, whatever, mud pack on your face.
Let me ask you this. If you could have it your way, would you want her in lingerie every night?
Nope. In my way, we just sleep in the bed naked, but we got to I mean, let's just keep it real. We sleep together. We see you. We in the shower together. You know, whatever. So,
so you don't even need the lingerie. Just
I don't need the lingerie. But my point is that all of a sudden, at the drop of the dime, you know, your wife changed on you, and you're like, whoa.
I think that has to be communicated. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you used to wear lingerie, now you don't. You know, now you're in the headscarf and the T-shirt and sweatpants, fleece sweatpants or something. You know, I think that has to be communicated. It has to be. Somebody got to ask that question.
But that's not a deal breaker. That's just she got to go up and go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That all depends. The reason why I say it all depends is because for some people that has been a deal.
Okay.
Just saying. Some people got tired of seeing that look. and went in a total different direction to get what they were shown in the beginning.
But was that, but it goes back to what Ronnie said, is that, was that communicated to her, or was that just, hey, your look is not for me, but this look over here, I'm starting to feel. I'm going to go over here and check this look out.
But here's the thing, when you think about the communication piece, though, I mean, I hate to put it as a tit for tat type of thing, but, you know, do they, you know, necessarily communicate all the things that they expect from us in some capacity as well? Meaning, you know, I think about what my mother has always told me, Peyton, don't start nothing that you know you can't finish, that you know you can't keep up. So if you started out the gate doing all these nice things, and then we get married and all of a sudden they start to disappear, why would you, in a sense, trick me into believing that it's going to be that way? And then now the smoke and mirrors go away and bam, now I'm getting the real you. Well, you backed me into a corner. That's not fair. You didn't give me an opportunity to decide for myself whether or not I choose to be a part of this or not. Don't start something that you can't keep up.
Good words.
Yeah, real good words. I mean, because I think that, isn't that what marriage is that hard battle of keeping up and always refreshing what we're doing now and not just giving up on the good and the bad? Do we understand our vows when we get married? Do we really understand them, or do we just get up and say them because the pastor said, repeat after me?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think you get the gist of it. And then, of course, you're going to do exactly what the pastor said the day of. But hopefully in between, you're really doing things to try to grasp those concepts and really understand what those vows mean. The problem is that, you know, I think back to last week when we had a joint call, we talked about the whole concept of maturity. We as individuals have to mature with our relationship, our marriage as well. And if we don't do that, you know, we're in trouble. And I think about that with regards to what you were just saying with the communication in some aspects. You got to do that, but you have to be willing to mature as well. You can't be the same person that was sitting in, you know, the minister's quarters going through your marital counseling and you 15 years in. You can't be that same person. You can't even be referring to that stuff. You need to be talking about things that you've actually grasped and to achieve aside from that. So, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, to answer your question.
Yeah. Maturity, I'm writing this down. That's good. That's good to know. Maturity in marriage is a real good thing, especially knowing how well you know your wife, because over the years, your wife changes. You know, when you met your wife, you were probably just out of college. You're partying all the time. You know, then once you get married, that turns her into a different person. That turns her into your wife and not fiance, girlfriend. So she's supposed to act differently. I think the problem comes into some marriages is when you see a lot of marriages, especially in younger marriages, is that, yeah, we married, but we still want to hang out and go party.
Yes,
on Friday night, you go hang out with your girls, I hang out with my guys. That's not marriage, is it? Or is that a compromise? Hey, you know, we're married, but I still want to have fun. I know you want to have fun, so let's go out.
Well, you know, we're talking about grown folks' business here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you have to learn, like, I know, you know, most guys are, and not all of us, but a lot of us have a lot of me in us. But when you cross that, when you get that marriage bond, you got to learn to compromise, even when you don't want to compromise. And I think that's a hard thing to do for us, you know. Pass that remote, you know, give her the last chicken wing. You know what I'm saying? you know.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Maybe go ahead.
I'm out. You said chicken. Now you ain't got on my level when you say chicken. Now we done seen. We go back to James Evan, and everybody knows that the man gets the big chicken in the house.
That's old school though, and that's TV.
But that's real life too. Well, at least for me.
But who should be catered to first? I mean,
It was more of a wife catering to the man when it came to the food in the home. But is that a difference? Is that a compromise?
I mean,
is old school way not the right way now?
I'm not saying it's not. Well, there's a lot of old school ways that definitely won't fly today. Because today the women are independent, with or without you.
Well, that changes the definition of maturity that my man just was talking about.
How's that?
How? Because I guarantee you, in this conversation of who did I marry, people go in with a thought of what marriage is going to be. And they go in to a marriage at the beginning. And I believe we talked about this a little bit last week on the co-ed calls. And let me know if I'm not saying it right here, but there was a lady on the call that says, I went into my marriage thinking my husband should be just like my father.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what I'm saying here is, and this is my 10 o'clock, it's only monkey wrench, is men go into a marriage wanting their women the way they are right now, the way they are. But women go into a marriage on trying to change a man. Is that a true statement or not?
No, man. I don't think that's a true statement.
You sure? You don't think women don't try to change their man once they get them married? Once they throw that ring on?
I don't know if that's a true statement or the fact that we have to go back to the good behavior. Everybody's on their best behavior in the beginning. So when the best behavior wears off and now you're not with the representative anymore, you're with that real person, then, yeah, they want to try to change you back to that person that you presented yourself to. And I think that works on both sides.
Anybody else want to?
I think I totally agree with my brother that they go into it trying to change us because, I was in a situation at a time, man, where when I wasn't walking with God, man, and I didn't really have the relationship that my wife wanted me to have with God, you know what I'm saying? And then what happened was is that I found myself in a place of her acting different towards me because she felt as if I was supposed to be at a certain place at a certain time, you know what I mean? Because they have their own expectations of us, you know what I mean? And what they see in us, not looking at the fact that you have your own, timing that God has called you into whatever it is that you want to do. But when you don't meet their expectation, they always try to change you, man. So I agree with 100% on that.
Yeah, I think women try to change you. I think especially if you live in a bachelor pad, your bachelor pad gone. All you're supposed to do is give them money and watch the furniture flow into your house.
Well, I don't know about that, man, because it's like this, bro. I mean, if you don't, I mean, 9 times out of 10, when they try to change you, they don't do it in the beginning. Like you said, they cool with it early in the beginning. But when you get that ring on, Doc, then all of a sudden, they do a flim flam on you. You know what I'm saying? Next thing you know, they turn into something that you didn't know. Like my man said a little earlier, you know what I mean? They turn into somebody that you really didn't know. So why are you going to start something and be something, like the man said earlier, why are you going to start something and doing things and then switch up on me in the long run? You know what I mean? Like he says, I mean, that's like living a lie. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
For sure.
That's crazy. So, I mean, I agree with my brother. Whoever he is, he was talking the truth. I was just sitting back shaking my head.
Anybody else? Well, because that goes into my next question. Is your marriage filled with compromise or sacrifice? What is the difference between compromising and sacrificing? That question is a marriage couple question that needs to be explored. and especially if you wish to have a long and happy marriage. By definition, I talked about this in a call back before. Compromise means to give up things in exchange of concession or for something for the other side. So the other side would be, all right, I'm going to compromise. You know what? I'm going to compromise, and I'm going to come home, and I'm going to go to your mother's so we can spend the weekend. I really don't want to go, but if it makes you happy, you want me to go with you, I'll go down there to your mother's house and spend the weekend down there. Where sacrifice, on the other hand, is completely letting go of something considered valuable to an individual. As myself, as we all know, I had to give up my NFL package, and here it is, NFL season.
Oh, I watched mine all week. I just want you to know.
Man, you got to know it was killing me. The only thing that made me happy is that the Eagles game was shown at 12:45. So I was still able to see Michael Vick do his thing.
Yeah. I was upset my Colts lost, man. You know.
Yeah, but see, if you didn't have the package, you wouldn't be able to see the game because they don't show the game. So it's just one of those things. To me, that's a sacrifice, you know.
Well, my wife got me that for my birthday, actually, man, you know, so that was cool, you know, for me. But, you know, I think one of the major compromises in marriage, man, is when you agree to disagree because you don't want to create a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's
hey,
amazing.
How was that NFL package of sacrifice again? Hey, real talk, how did that work out for you? You know, you can compromise on that. And just such a football fan.
He got punked.
Well, as a football fan, if it was just a football fan, it didn't matter what game I was watching. Right? But I'm an Eagles fan, and I live in Redskin country. So if the Redskins is on, I got to watch that mess instead of watching my Eagles.
Okay, but again,
if they play at the same time.
But again, how did that come about?
Well, that came about over finances. We wanted to go with a cheaper package.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's the sacrifice of my NFL package. You know, that reduces the cost in the house where we can live comfortable. And we got a, you know, cheaper cable bill.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's the sacrifice. You know, and the compromise, it kind of combined because though I'm losing something, I'm gaining happiness with the wife because the finances are straight, and I'm happy that I got to pay less money out of my pocket each month.
Yeah, well, also, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes we got to check the details too. You got NFL package, that's more time for watching football and for spending less time with her. So that could have been underlined.
True that. Yeah, and we got the DVR now, so.
Yeah.
I can come back and watch it. But I got the NFL Network, and sometimes they show the game, they replay on that. So, you know, and there's compromises and stuff for me. It's a joke, but, you know, to somebody who's a diehard man, that might not be a joke.
I mean, I commend you, man. I commend you because most guys, they're not giving that up. I don't care what the situation. They're not giving that up.
And that's my whole point is, you know, with knowing who you marry, one, if I didn't compromise, what would be the effects for me not compromising?
Selfish.
I'm now become selfish. You know, all I want to do is watch the game. I never want to spend time with her. All those other things. It could have been a whole toilet roll of words rolled down of things that she probably could have put on me because I didn't make that one little small sacrifice. I think there was a sacrifice that somebody talked about on the phone a couple weeks ago where his wife was happy that he just took out the trash or took it down to the end of the road. I think it was a recycle bin or something. It was either trash or recycle bin.
Yeah, it was recycle
bin. And this man had a party just because he took the recycle bin to the end of the road.
Yeah, because we got to remember that, you know, happy wife, happy life. That's the old adage. And, you know, it does take, you know, some sacrifice and some compromise. And it's like, you know, to answer your question, it's like, you know, what do you want to live with a despondent spouse? Or, you know, do you want to, you know, come to some sort of agreement? And, you know, if it's an NFL package, you know, maybe she feels that she's compromising in another area that's equivalent to the NFL package in her mind or in your mind. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, a caller online said that after 3 years of marriage, he said he has to say it's not easy. That trying to come to agreement on something one way or another is his problem. When it comes to compromise and sacrifice, just coming to an agreement, and that could be finances, that could be the children, that could be what trip we're going to take, when we're going to take the trip, what do we need to buy on the trip.
But like I said earlier, man, it's got to be a balance. You got to put that work in on a regular in America. Certain things that you say, okay, I can't go off the boys, I can't go to the bar, I can't go, you know what I mean? I think we have to earn that. In other words, I hate to say it that way, but I think we have to earn that free time because, and I mean, we're men, we don't really have to earn it, but you put your time in, so when you do have to do certain things, you say, you know, if I go out with X, Y, Z, it's not going to be an issue. You know what I'm saying? Because you already put your time in with her throughout the week. Again, like I said earlier, I think sometimes we get consumed with everything else, and then it is a problem. And then it is, well, no, an NFL channel just going to be another distraction to keep you coming. Had we been putting in on that time, it wouldn't be an issue. Or you say, well, you know, there's something we can watch together. Maybe we'll watch NFL together, and then maybe we'll watch Lifeline or whatever that
Lifetime.
Is. Lifetime together. You know what I mean? So we always got to be one step ahead of that.
Yeah, because I had to watch that the other day. Next thing I know, I hit sniffling. I got my daughter sniffling and my wife sniffling. I'm like, what y'all sniffling for? Y'all knew that this, what the whole storyline was going to be. I know, but it's sad. I'm like, man, I don't know how y'all can watch this when the storyline ain't changed. Man going to jail. Here we go. Let's talk about this one. My wife and I love to go out and eat. Okay? We usually compromise on what type of meal we want to eat. However, there is something sometimes I would like to go eat and where we would like to go eat in, like a restaurant, and she would like to eat out. Like, let's go I'm just going to make up one Chipotle's and go home. I don't feel like eating out tonight. Is that something to be pissed about?
Can you ask that question again? I didn't get it.
Well, the question is you want to do one thing and she wants to do another. How do you fix those issues? Your wife doesn't want to do what you want to do, but she wants you to do what she wants the family to do.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. I used to be a little headstrong in that area because of what I eat, what I don't eat. And it got to a point where I'd be like, what do you want to eat? And then she would say, yeah, it don't matter. Because no matter what she said, I was going to say, yeah, but what about this place? You know what I mean? And I had to learn to, on purpose, say, what do you want to eat? And then when she says something, that's what we go eat. Because I would always ask the question, but then we'd end up somewhere else. At the place I want, you know. So for me, I had to make that transition. to the point where, no, it's not about me. And then I, because what she was doing was she was learning to find something on a menu to eat at a place that I really thought.
Well, I have to tell you what drives me crazy is my wife, is it doesn't matter, wife. And so you be like, what do you want to eat? It doesn't matter where you want to go.
Yeah, you got the same problem I got.
I'm like,
it does matter.
It does.
They just started losing the battle. That's all.
Yeah,
it
did. You pick a restaurant or something, or you pick a way to go, or you say, let's go to the movies. What movie you want to see? It doesn't matter. All right, let's go see an action movie. I don't want to see no action movie. You just said it didn't matter. I mean, what does it doesn't matter mean? That's just something that pisses
it's
me off.
It's a smoke screen, man. It matters. Trust me. It matters. And as far as they're concerned, we're supposed to know the movie that they want to see before we ask us to go to the movie.
Man, that's frustrating.
It is.
I don't know. Anybody else having that problem, or is it just me and Tom?
Well, I say, you know, from the standpoint, I got a different issue that, you know, when it comes out to eat, you know, my wife is on a diet, you know, so we have to be careful, you know, where we go. And the diet that she's on actually has some, you know, some options strictly from the diet plan, which is good, you know, so it tells you, you know, how many calories and all that good stuff. But, I mean, it is difficult, but, you know, I'll flip it around, you know, as saying that, you know, she'll work with me as far as compromising. So, you know, on some occasions we'll have to, you know, make sure that she's able to get something off of the menu that's in accordance with her diet. But in other ways, you know, she's like, hey, you know, I'm good to go. You know, wherever you want to go, you know, it's cool. So, you know, I think as you mentioned before, you know, it's all about compromise, but compromise goes both ways.
Hmm. Anybody else? Compromise goes both ways. Well, a user online has a question. They want to know, how do you handle when your spouse is battling back and forth with their mom? Do you get in between the two, or do you leave it alone?
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
And we actually got he can check the audio on that. We got a whole show on that. But yeah, I'm with Tony. Leave that joint.
But that's part of, that may be part of your wife's upbringing is having, you know, you sitting there on the phone and they communicate on the phone, and then next thing you know, they have arguments, and then they bringing it to your home.
Oh.
And now your home is filled with stress based on a conversation that your wife had with somebody on the phone.
Well,
a family member on the phone.
I think that the best thing to do in that particular situation is to just listen to hear your wife out. Because you might not be able to hear the mother or father, but just to hear her out, let her vent. At some point, just remind her to be respectful, that that's still her mom. And I think that is just the extent of it. Anything else, you know.
Stay out of it. Does anybody agree or disagree, or is everybody in agreement? Now, what if your wife joined a book club, attended every club on, let's say, Wednesday night, and her husband, you, wanted her to be home so that she could fix supper or make sure that the kids are straight, so you want her to sacrifice her book club?
Yep.
Is this a healthy way to deal with the situation?
No.
By demanding that she sacrifice her book club? Sacrifice something she wants to do?
Let her do it. Help her do it. Buy her some more books.
Because we had a conversation on one of our calls where we talked about overcommitting. You know, wife could be a PTA, soccer mom, book club, at church, ministry, and there's no time for you.
You talk about one night a week.
I just picked a night, but I don't. I mean, it could be multiple things. An overcommitted woman. Your wife is overcommitted with all these different things that she does. Would you feel that you are needed in the marriage? That there's a void in your marriage because she's overcommitting herself outside of the home?
I don't want to do all the talking, but yes. There's definitely some cute boys there.
Yeah. Because that's tough. I mean, sacrifices are never healthy. It's never a healthy addition into the relationship. It's always accompanies the loss of self. It's loss of compromise. Sacrifices is really affect the marriage. Some of us on the phone might say that it's not true, that sacrifice doesn't really affect the marriage, but to me, I believe it does.
For the better or for the worse?
Sacrifices might not be good at all. It's good compromises, but sacrifices might not, I don't know. Depends on what you sacrifice.
I mean, you had to sacrifice the NFL talent. Was that good?
I'm struggling. We'll see halfway through. We just got season number one. You know, the way the Eagles playing, I don't know. But you know. But is marriage filled with a lot of verbal abuse by your spouse? Do you know people who had verbal abuse? Abusive wives that never came out when they were dating. You know, here's this special woman, and then all of a sudden she's just in the mat. Once they said I do, it's like every time they have an argument, she's verbally abusing this man.
Now that's something that I believe that you know up front. If you got a mouthy woman. It's just like you said, I don't think that just comes about. That's the personality thing.
That's personality. Anybody else? I believe you're right. I mean, that's one of those red flags that I believe that you find that at that beginning of the marriage is that, hey, if we get in an argument, we're always going to be, I'm going to have to always yell at the top of my lungs just to talk over you because you won't listen to me.
Yeah, you married the same, I mean, you know, somebody could have married the same woman that cussed him out in college. You know, one time is all it takes.
All it takes.
One time.
You know, and I got that marriage because the other day I was watching, Why Did We Get Married, number 2, that Tyler Perry movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy one. They were always just yelling at each other. And he figured it out that the reason why she was always yelling is so they can have good makeup sex. So instead of him yelling, he says, I know what you want. Let's jump in. But do you think a controlling wife is a good thing? A wife that, you know, now that you're married, she's going through your phone, she's going through your wallet, she's going through your pants, she's going through all this stuff, and then all of a sudden now you have this verbal abuse?
No, that's not a good thing because that's a trust issue.
Yeah.
And it may be something that you may not even, it may not be anything that is about you. You know, it may have been something, you know, in her past with another relationship or whatever. It may not even, you know, relate to you, but, you know, it's still there. But that's an underlying trust issue.
Mm. Trust is huge in a marriage, right? We go out before we even answer is based on trust. Isn't that one of the things we look at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
So when we lose that trust, is that when the verbal abuse, is that when we say, oh, she must does not trust me, so this is the reason why we always argue with each other. You know, who didn't close the door? Who's the last one? Now it's an argument.
How did that come about?
But I don't know.
One minute you got trust, the next minute you don't.
That's that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I mean, where did it all come from? How did it happen? You know, one day we cool, next day you tripping. What's this all about?
So it could be new things that come about, new activities of one of the parties, or something, like he said, that was triggered that happened in the last relationship.
So you think things that happened in the last relationship that you know nothing about automatically comes out in your relationship, and now you're getting
most definitely
somebody else that you don't even know, have no idea what the problem was?
Most definitely.
Wow.
I think it happens all the time.
Well, when does that stop? I mean, how long is that supposed to go on?
When you say, I'm not him, that's when I think it's going to stop. You prove yourself to be not that person.
So, or is it that I believe in my vow, and I believe in the saying, better for worse? Do I just accept my wife, my spouse, or my wife just the way she is right now and accept the negativity, accept the abuse, accept the non-trusting in the relationship?
I think
you got to get into it's a deeper issue that you got to get to. That's what I think. Go ahead, B. I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely right, though. It's a real deeper issue, you know? And the deeper issue is that, like you made a comment, you said accept her for who she is. See, that's where the mistake came in at, right? You can see when we get married, we go into the marriage half the time, you halfway together and she halfway together. Two halves make a whole, but you need two wholes. You know what I mean? So anything that she dealt with in her past, anything you dealt with in your past, whenever you marry that person, now whatever problem she has becomes yours. Whatever problems you have become hers, and that's a whole other situation you got to deal with now, you know. And I mean, it's not easy trying to join two people together. You know, they come from two different paths, you know, and that's where the trouble comes in at, because you weren't whole when you came into the relationship.
That's two different paths.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Because we got a caller online has a question. How do you handle when the spouse compares former relationships or marriages?
You don't. Get rid of her.
The past is the past. You don't bring that mess somebody else into my relationship.
Thank you.
I mean, that's just me. I mean, and I think that's where half of our problem is that women hold on to things.
Yeah.
And then they put men into a box. Right? And they put their issues from all these other men that have done them wrong into a box. And then you get that box.
And that's why I said that you come into a relationship not whole. Because here it is. She dealt with for things when somebody raped her in her past, or somebody beat her in her past. She had abusive relationships in her past. And they bring all of that stuff into your marriage, man. And then the next thing you know, you've been the sweetest and nicest guy in the world to her. Then all of a sudden, man, you say one thing, and all of a sudden you see, you know, Sybil come out. You're like, where in the world did that come from? You know, because she never talked to you about it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, well, they do it. They do it. And that's why you got to be whole when you come into a relationship, man. You got to address those issues that you deal with in your life before you enter into anything, man, because all of those things that he's talking about now are the things that will come up in your marriage.
So how do you handle it?
How do you handle it? Well, I mean, I dealt with it, brother. You know what I'm saying? I almost got divorced because of the same thing. You know what I mean? And definitely the way you handle it is, man, is it takes a strong individual, man, because, you know, I found myself in a place where I never put my hand on a woman before, man. And she said some things, you were talking about abusive things, she said some things to me, man, that it was not cool. And I found myself choking and smacking her one time. And the first time I've made a woman in my life, you know what I mean? So it was tough. It wasn't no easy road. But then in the same sense, I learned something about myself that I didn't know that was in me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is, man, it's a very trying situation, man. So don't think that it's easy. But going through it all, what happened is that we sit up there and we had conversations with each other, going back and forth in disputes about, you know, different things that were right and what was wrong. But technically, neither one of us could hear each other, man. And then one day, somebody else said something to us that made sense and brought closure to everything that was just nonsense. And when you looked at it, it was just trivial.
Just trivial.
Yeah.
The whole time.
All the time. And that's what Satan does. He get all up in your marriage, man. And when he gets you to a place, the next thing you know, he's going to take you there. And if you fall for it, and if you fall for the banana in the tailpipe, it's on you.
Hmm.
Believe me.
Well, hey,
I got to a place, man, that in that same situation, man, where I didn't even know how to handle it. I'm being real with y'all, you know, because, you know, these things like this need to be heard. You know, I came to a place, man, where I took pills and almost overdosed. So, you know what I'm saying? For real.
Wow.
Because it blew me away, because I never, we had never even had an argument before. You know what I mean?
And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, out of the blue, I married the wrong person.
Wow. And you can't say,
Oh, man. You know, I was, you know, I turned into Mighty Joe Young for a minute.
Mm. But that thing is that some of this stuff never comes out at the beginning. And some of you may have missed the conversation that we had at the beginning where we walked through the process of you meeting the girl, you're looking at the visual, the outside, you find out her morals and her values and how she, you know, relates to people and relates to you. And then that's what you fall in love with.
Yep.
But you don't never fall in love or at the beginning, or you don't see that box that has all these issues in it, that piece of luggage, it's always that last luggage that you add on to the U-Haul. It's like, where did this luggage come from? What's in here?
You're right about that. And another thing that I want to bring, a point that I want to bring up is, man, is that what I found out in all of that was when I knew that I was never a violent person that will put my hand on a woman. But what I had to realize is, man, she was in an abusive relationship before. It really never talked to me about it. And then all she did was provoke something that was in me, because that was something that she was used to having done. So that's what they do. You know, they know how to take a person to a place. And then,
because it was done to them in their past.
Yes, exactly.
And so now once she figures out how far your buttons would go.
There you go.
They use that against you and other arguments in the future.
To try to make me, to try to picture me as the same type of person that she was dealing with before.
Wow, good words, man, good words.
Can I add something to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all know for a fact that a lot of women have been abused in one form or fashion, whether it be physical, verbal, just some kind of abuse that has affected them.
Absolutely.
In their everyday life. And then you got to ask yourself, how many of them disclose that important piece of information prior to getting married?
They don't. Because it's a shame that, you know, I dated a girl, man, you know, for a while. I had a child with her. I think I told the guys this once before. I had a child with her, man. This is way back in the day. You know, I'm all in love with Shorty, man. And next thing you know, her sister come to me, tell me something in my ear. And I addressed it to her sister. And I said, why didn't you tell me you was being abused, you know, through incest by your father? She said, maybe I enjoyed it.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yep.
I'm telling you. And the thing about it is, they don't talk to you about nothing. That if it's something that they're familiar with, and they don't truly, you know, in their mind understand the, you know, the seriousness of it, or even they just don't want to recognize it, man, you could deal with some craziness for a long time, bro.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you think women are scared? Because I mean, my story is way before I got married, you know, when I was still doing my thing, you know, I met one girl that, you know, we was having fun, and then when we started to get a little closer, and she was mm-hmm. starting to get emotionally attached, she came out and said, hey, you know, your first guy I've been with for a while because I was raped a year ago. But after telling me, I turned into a whole different person. I was scared to touch her.
Oh, yeah. Thinking you might spark something up in her.
Right. I started looking at her differently. It wasn't that I wanted to. I thought she was cool. But do you think they hold those in because we just can't handle it? I couldn't handle it at that time. I'll just be straight up. I couldn't handle it at that time.
There might be embarrassment there.
They are.
You know how many women? I mean, you know how many women get accused of being at fault when they get abused like that? I mean, there's a lot of things, man. They feel tainted. They feel unclean, whatever the case may be, and they don't want to relive that with you. That's a part of their life that they're trying to get past. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? They're trying to get past it. You know, I'm out of that abusive relationship. I got this new man now. Let me just move forward. I don't want to go back there.
But it's hard
to not go back there.
But the part about that is that if you have never brought closure to it, it's always going to revisit it.
Exactly.
You know, it's always going to come back. And then it's going to come out in your marriage because it's going to be one thing that you do that's going to spark something in her to bring back that memory from before. And all of a sudden, brother, you're dealing with dude issues.
Mm.
You might as well have done the abuse yourself.
Okay. Yes, sir.
When I'm going to add on to the verbal abuse, is my spouse... Oh, before I move on, we got a question from our chat room. Well, it's an answer to the first question. The question was, how do you handle when your wife compares your former relationships or marriage? And he adds on saying that his wife was once married and she's a widow now. She was a widow before he met her. And sometimes mentions her late husband just out of the blue. And then how things were with him versus how things were with them now. So she's comparing him to her late husband. I see a red flag there.
I think she should have never got married again.
Right. I think.
Well, no. You gotta move on. At some point, you gotta move on. But I
gotta let that man go.
In a situation like that, that ex can never interrupt your marriage because he's no longer here. You see
right.
what I'm saying? That's not like the ex that's across town, you know, that at any given time can come back and try to run game on your new wife. So at some point, you got to sympathize and be like, I understand you lost the man that you love. I'm here now trying to bring you, you know, as much joy and pleasure that I can. You know, I think you just have to show a little bit of a compassion as long as it's not like an everyday thing.
Yeah, because after a while,
you
got to shut that down.
Yeah, after a while, you're going to have to shut it down.
If I recall, I got to roll back up here. I believe he said he's been married for 3 years. So, you know, is 3 years long enough, or is it shutdown time now? This is getting ridiculous.
You know what I think it might be, and I ain't trying to chime in on everything, but I think it might be
a spiritual
attachment, man. You know what I mean? And when you spiritually get connected to somebody, if this person was married to that person for a long time and you became one with that person and then you decided to get married again, man, you know, it's kind of hard to shake the spiritual attachment of what you had because all probably the things that were in that relationship were good memories. And the sad part about it is that he's finding himself being judged because of somebody else and what somebody else did, and that she needs to let that go. But it's just a spiritual attachment, man, right now.
It's like, I say it like this. I say it like this. Me and my wife are best friends. I do everything with my wife. If something were to happen to her, I might not be any good for the next woman. Because I'd be just like that. I know I would.
No question.
You know what I mean? Everything would be like, but you know, like, this is how I used to have. This is how we used to do things. This is like, you know, this is how, what I became accustomed to. It'd be a hard way to, I mean, I think it's just a very hard transition, and maybe 3 years may not be long enough, you know, for, you know, to get it out of the system.
It's a spiritual thing, man. I mean, it's like all of us have these relationships where, you know, we met some girl and, you know, and we hit it, and, you know, and to us it was great, you know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, 20 years down the line, you're still bringing up the same thing, man, because you became attached to that emotion and that feeling at that time. So when you see somebody, it rises up something in you, because shorty over there used to do some great things, right? And those things she used to do, man, I'm still searching for it to this day. It's a spiritual attachment, man, you know?
I understand.
You know, it's like that band camp story. One time at band camp, it was this chick. You know, we all got them stories.
Oh, yeah.
And they long gone, but we still remember some things.
That's right.
just adding on, because we got a few more things I want to try to chime in before 11 o'clock. We got the verbal, but now we got this physical. Well, I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it sometimes even on the metro or just around where... I don't know if the wife is trying to be the man in relationship, but it's always what she wants to do. I'm tired, I'm ready to go. And then it gets abusive with the little taps on the arm. Next thing you know, the punch in the chest, the smack on the back of the head. And you're looking at him, at the man, like, I know you don't want to hit this woman, and that's a good thing. But, Donnie, you got to be a man to stand up for yourself, too. You got to at least say, stop it. I'm not going to take this mess anymore, something. Can physical abuse be a problem? Is it something that, it was a red flag at the beginning where y'all were playing and she hit you one time and you brushed it off? Or is it something that just, what happens if it just shows up in the marriage? You're like, where did this come from? Is that something you blame on yourself, on something that you were doing, or is that just, does that go with the verbal abuse where this is something that happened in a past relationship and this is the way she really gets her anger out? You're finding out about your wife right now. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming none of us has ever seen that. Might have heard of somebody.
Speak for yourself.
Well, speak on it. Whoever says speak for yourself, because I ain't never seen it. Ain't nobody ever hit me.
Nah, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's probably somebody who's thrown some books and maybe some knives at me. But
well, it doesn't necessarily really have to be physical abuse. It can be verbal. Saying things that just like my man was saying, things that make you want to strangle them.
Yeah,
that, you know, that goes straight to your manhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Effective things that go straight to your manhood, you know.
No question.
That woman that you were dating would never say. But now, you know, they got papers on you, and they say y'all got papers on you, and this, that, and that, you know. It happens.
Yeah. So, because that brings into my next question. That big J word, jealousy. Jealousy. my spouse was never like this, but her jealousy is going to make me walk away from the marriage. Trust issues, jealousy.
I don't know about walking away, but jealousy does play a big part. And a lot of times it plays a bigger part with the men than we really realize. If you, I don't know if you're really paying attention, but a lot of us, you know, I mean, I can say a lot of us, I know myself, and maybe a few other people on the call, didn't really have a serious walk or relationship with God at one time, you know, and we weren't heading down that path, you know, and you know, and they want you to, you know, to have one, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, when you decide to jump in this thing, and here it is, they've been all spiritual and Holy Ghost filled all their lives, but then all of a sudden we get involved, and the next thing you know, we coming out with some word and speaking some things to them, man, that, you know, that they couldn't even fathom in the beginning. And then all of a sudden they're looking at you like, well, I've been in this thing all this time. How are you going to talk to me about thus forth and so on? You know what I mean? But then they don't realize God is a God of order. You know, you can only go as far as I go as my wife. So however high I go is as far as you can go. Because if we're one, and if I'm the head, and God said that, you know, He said God the Son, the Man, and then man, am I right?
Yeah. Good word.
So who makes your wife jealous of you anyway?
Oh, they get jealous because you get increased in the word. You know, faster than they do after you've rebelled against it for so long. And then when you start speaking things to them, they can't receive from you because, you know, they can't.
Now they think
you're
putting on the front and
not. Oh, no question, because I remember how you used to be.
Wow.
Oh, you know what, man? I never thought about it like that.
Yes, sir.
That, you know, the way they always in their mind have what they want you to be and what they try to train you to be. I'm putting that in quotes. You can't see it.
Thank you. But then
when you bypass that and you do more than what they even expect, you pass their expectations.
The jealousy pops in, brother, and then all of a sudden you're trying to be something, and here it is. I remember how you used to be. And then I used to get offended by when she said, I remember how you used to be. But then I got a word from God on that one. And He said, the fact that she said, I remember how you used to be means that you weren't the same as you were.
Mm.
So you take that as a positive when somebody say that to you.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a change in me if you remember how I used to be.
Which should be a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Well, for women, it's not a good thing. I mean, I believe sometimes my wife says, you used to do this, you used to do that. I don't get that anymore.
Hey.
And I'm like, well,
did you say the same thing?
Change. So in changing, you're not going to get the same thing.
There you go. You used to do this and you used to do that, but you changed.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
For real sure.
Mine just used to have a little liquor behind it.
You know?
But I used to have more, you know, a different type of fun with the liquor behind it. So,
yeah.
I changed because I don't drink the liquor like I used to.
Yeah.
It's different. You got a different person.
That's funny that you say. That's funny that you say that, man. Because you know what? I never drank a day in my life, man. But I used to date somebody, man, that couldn't be herself with me because I didn't drink.
Mm.
That was unbelievable. So, what I'm trying to say is, you got to be incapacitated in order for you, you know.
But you know what? I've heard of people like that where they can't be their own selves.
Yeah.
They show such a front, and this goes back to probably one of the questions we said earlier, is that outside of the home they show such a front,
yes,
that they want to be their real self, and so they want to be around somebody who they feel like their real self with because they do the exact same things that they do.
But they can identify with it, exactly.
Hey, look, I used to be that person. I ain't going front. You know, growing up in Manhattan, I started going to clubs at 12, 13 years old.
all the way to a grown man. And as you know, after college, I couldn't go to a club and not have a drink. I just couldn't. I mean, just to be sober in a club, it didn't work for me. I'd be better off home. It didn't work. I had to go and get that first drink, that second drink. And then once I got to that level, then I could enjoy myself. I couldn't be, you know, I had to be twisted in order to go. But the fact was I was going to the club. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
I had to
be,
you know, it was in it. But I had to have that alcohol.
Wait. And I knew every back road it was, because I knew I was going to be toasted, but I had to get home.
Yeah.
And I knew where all the cop traps were, so I made sure I took the back way and the round way to get home. I never had any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know.
I know what you mean, man. When you start off young.
But the personality changed.
It's
the personality, once I got a couple of drinks in me, I turned into somebody else. Somebody who actually could work their way around the nightclub with no problem. But before I had the drink, I was just like everybody else, sitting there trying to wait for something to jump off.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, so I understand why that, you know, that female he was with before, she, you know, she had to get those juices flowing so she could show who she really wanted to be. Not who she was, but who she wanted to be.
So she was filled with the wrong spirit then, right?
The wrong spirit, man. I was filled with the wrong spirit.
Man, good.
Because guess what? It left me feeling empty every night.
Every night.
It passed the night where once that high came down, I felt empty. Like, no, now I'm back to this person again.
And if you had to do all of that to get to that place, And to accomplish the things that you wanted in that relationship or the wildness that you were doing, and you had to be incapacitated or drunk in some capacity, I mean, you were living a lie anyway. You know what I mean? So
Exactly. Look, I wasn't supposed to be there, and I wasn't supposed to be that person that I was trying to be.
Yeah.
Everything was an illusion.
Because that affects your jealousy. I think now that you're not that way and you put your emphasis in other things, I mean, needless to say, I know Tone knows me. So he knows that there was a time where I just would say yes to everything. And that was my scapegoat. You know, I'm not drinking anymore. I want to get involved in other things. I want to get involved in kids' life. I want to make sure kids go to school. I want to do everything positive, because everything I was doing was an escape goat, and I was living a lie. And I mean, he kind of just broke it down right then, the reason why I started doing other things. But in doing other things, at some point, I believe my wife maybe got a little jealous, is because I left her behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started my spiritual growth, and I just did a whole leap forward. And I'm like, yo, come on, catch up. And that could be a form of jealousy.
Well, it was a form of jealousy, because you went to a place, and then all of a sudden, what she had before, she no longer had. And a lot of times, we have a tendency of seeking after things that fulfilled us in the beginning, you know what I mean? In our relationship, man, and when that wasn't there anymore, man, hey, it was a problem.
It was a problem, because I'm going to tell you a funny thing that happened today. Now that I made all these changes and I'm all this stuff, my son sees that. He sees that, right? And so he sees me wear suits every day. He sees me get up and go to work, even if I'm tired. He sees me go to work in a suit, tie every day. He sees me take pictures, I'm in a suit and tie. Whatever I do, unless it has to deal with something where I can't wear a suit and tie. Even when I was coaching, I would come straight from work and coach, just put my tennis shoes on and keep my suit on and teach the kids how to play ball. But my son had to take pictures today. And this was funny because this is the first time I ever seen him go back and forth with his mama because he wanted to wear a suit. And your mom, and his mom was like, well, son, this is your gym day. Let me put you a sports coat on. I'll still give you a button-up shirt with a tie and some jeans so that way you can go to gym. And he was like, I can go to gym in my suit. My daddy does it. And you could just see her anger. Because of that, it was funny to her and it was funny to me after the fact, but you could kind of see his growth and what he wants to do. And that bond, there was a little mama jealousy there at the end of the day. But jealousy sometimes can be a funny thing in a marriage and it can be a very bad thing. Jealousy / not having trust is a bad thing. Because not only are you doing something that you enjoy, you're leaving her out. And then, two, somebody else is taking that place. If it's a friend or other women or what. That jealousy can cause conflict in the home. But then you can have good jealousy, just like I said, where you got that small conflict between father and son and mother and daughter. Here we go. Let's see.
I'll tell you something, man. I gotta just throw something in there. When I first started dating my wife now, we used to, my thing, I hadn't found the Lord as of yet at that point. So I was still tough. And I would take her with me, and we would drink, party. I mean, we had a ball. When I say fun, big fun. And it led to a lot of things. It led to a lot of good things. The negative, it was, but I don't know if it was negative because I was with her, and I eventually married her. But to make a long story short, so then we got to a point where we both got saved, and it was time to have a different life. A different agenda. And then we cut that part out. The going to the club, getting drunk, or whatever the case may be. And we just don't do it anymore. So now we got a straight life without that. But my dilemma is we had a lot of fun clubbing. I guess we could do it again just without getting drunk. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is, now the taste is gone for it.
Yeah.
Because, there's a lot of negativity in my life personally when I would partake in those activities. So he had to take the taste out of my mouth. The lust for it is gone, But in a marriage, I think dancing is healthy. I think going out with your wife is healthy. So I guess I would have to get back into it, but in a moderation way.
Well, I don't even know if you need to get back into it because I tell you what, I've been going to this tournament every year since I was about 4 years old, the CIAA basketball tournament. I played in the tournament 1-2 years basketball, and then I've been going ever since. And then my wife wouldn't go. She just wasn't into it. So one time she said, all right, I'm going to go and check it out. So now she can't stop going. But the change is that we used to go and we would meet our friends down there, college friends, to go clubbing. And last year it was a totally drastic change. We probably clubbed one night and we stayed on the dance floor. But it was me drinking a bottle of water, her drinking a Sprite, and it was just a totally different type of vibe. We had more togetherness, but the people around us, the friends that went with us, they didn't have much fun because they were single. They went down there expecting that my wife and I, will party like it was 1999. You know, old Prince style. But we are, you can see the growth in our relationship and in our marriages because we don't have to do that anymore. We can go and dance and have fun, just me and her, and won't have to worry about, you know, if the party was slamming or whatever, because we just enjoy just being around each other and dancing. And so I know what you mean when you say you're trying to get back in the club. You don't want to get back in the club. You just want to go out every once in a while and just go dance.
There you go. I mean, that's what I meant to say. Not back in the club life, because we don't do that anymore.
You don't want that club life no more, man, because then that's when you know somebody will be hollering at the wife and you got to get in a fight. That's part of club life.
Yeah. A controlled environment with a bunch of married people that go out and dance.
A controlled environment to just go dance and nobody's going to bother you. Then that's what we found. And that goes again with, you know, the company you keep.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hang around with more folks. As another example, a lot of three families, we went all out together, went to the mountains, and we brought the kids with us. And, man, we had the best time of our lives. I believe we still talking about that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even do a lot, but we went out, we had fun, we went on a boat ride, we went to putt-putt golf, we went to play games, we went swimming, sat in the jacuzzi, ate dinner together, drank a little wine, and everybody had a ball. And I think when you in that marital growth, that's what we're looking for when we say what our title is.
Mm.
Why did we get married? Or who did we marry, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? I think we got that all in both of us. We both got a good and a bad side. We try to keep the bad side. We're always working on that bad side. But the good side is always more in our relationship. That's why we can last for years. You know, I've lasted 17 going on 18 years next year. So,
I got a monkey wrench. And
go
I
ahead.
Late, but I think Brian can appreciate this monkey wrench if you went to wife. You know, we talked about how women who have been abused won't bring it into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, won't disclose that information. Well, one of the things that we've done, and I'm not talking about abuse, but we've done some hardcore women. I know I have done some hardcore women out. Hardcore information that if my wife knew, she may have picked someone else.
Oh, Lord.
Well, we ain't disclosed that information coming in.
True.
You know, the threesomes and all that other crazy stuff that people do. Certain things you just don't disclose because you don't want them to know that side of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was out there in luncheon, so I definitely couldn't tell her nothing.
Yeah, a lot of things, you know, stay where they at when it comes to that. So I think we both do it on, you know, we definitely hold some stuff back too. Yeah, because there's some stories. There's actually some things that I've done that I really wish I didn't do. And more or less, I definitely wouldn't want my wife to know.
Oh man. Tony, you hit my 11 o'clock monkey wrench right on the nose. My 11 o'clock monkey wrench was, right. The last question of the night was, is the reason why we find out things later on in the marriage because our wife really wasn't our first choice?
Ooh. I agree with that. I told my children when I met their mama, she was just something to do. I wanted some booty. I was being honest with them, you know, because I try to be real with my children, let them know that you know, people are going to come at you in all kinds of ways, you know what I mean, going to tell you all kinds of stories to get whatever it is that they want, you know. And I had to let mine know in the beginning, you know, that wasn't my intention, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
Wow.
I agree with that. Because I'm an honest person, man. I'm gonna tell you the truth. You know what I'm saying about some things. You know, I did some crud, I did some crud in my life. You know what I'm saying? And some things, you know, you just don't talk about. You know.
Exactly. Some things you just don't.
Yeah, some things you just don't talk about.
But brave with you.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt.
I thought that was a question that would be the last question of the night, because I don't think anybody ever thought that the wife that they have now was their first choice. And that's why they didn't take the full look they took what they saw and appreciated what they were at that time and said, we're gonna live together, we're going to roll together, and we're going to make sure it's better for work.
But the reason she wasn't the first choice, man, is because the type of women we were dealing with before them. See, the ones we married was the ones who weren't doing all the crazy stuff that the other ones was doing for us. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's in our mind, man. You know, we got our freaking out trick on the other side. But then, you know, and we loving every minute of it. But then we go into somebody, it really wasn't your first choice because you was doing other things. And you try to turn that person into something that she's not, you know, and then we get all mixed up, man.
Good words, man.
Get all mixed up and confused, believe me.
Someone's nose be wide open, man.
Yeah, man.
Everybody's nose been wide open once or twice in their relationship.
And some of us are still searching for, you know, that freak we had a long time ago in our wives, man, but, you know, we got to realize that ain't her. You know what I'm saying? Some of us are searching for that you know, that person that did all those wonderful things for us, and then you know, some things you can't shut down on, and you try to bring it into your relationship, but then the wholesome woman that you married, man, is like, oh, you got it twisted.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Good words. Well, it's 11 o'clock. It is 11 o'clock. And I have one more question, or we can go straight into open mic.
What's your question?
Out of all these things we have talked about tonight, what do we do when Mr. Hyde shows up? Well, not Mr. Hyde, when Mrs. Hyde, when our wife flips that script, what do we do? How do we respond? How to react?
Good question. I think you never know, man. I think you never know. Because, you know, first of all, there's a whole shock factor that, you know, because you're looking at him like, who are you and where did you come from? You know, that's the first thing you're looking at him. And then you just, I mean, I guess you got to figure out as you go, but you got to remember to, you know, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you know, you still got to find a way to hang in there and just work it out. Got to reverse that thing.
Yeah. The whole thing is, at the end of the day, every marriage will have its struggles, but you just have to remember that part of your vows that says for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole key of marriage, man, is our vows. I mean, I don't think we take them all seriously, but we just got to remember, we're not going to have a smooth road here into eternity, until it's time for our maker to call us. There's going to be some bumps in the road because we're going to have some trials and some tribulations to get through our marriage, to make our marriage stronger. So if we can remember that and understand that there will be less Miss Hyde the longer you stay in your marriage, because you should be able to work those out throughout the marriage, so they'll start getting less and less, and you'll know how to understand them when they do pop up. And with that, those morals and values that you loved about your wife at the beginning will show up at the end. And the conversation we had earlier where we Peyton said that don't start nothing that you can't finish.
No, that's right.
That's a true statement, man. You got to keep loving your wife. That's what you started. That's what you got to finish, man. You got to figure out ways to how to keep that love flowing in your life and maturity, man. The older we get, the better we get, the better our marriages get. So at the end of the day, we do know everything about the person that we marry. And if you know like me, sometimes when you go with your wife to the doctor, they try to hold things out back to the doctor, and you jump in and be like, hold on, why you ain't tell him this? Why you ain't tell him that? You got to tell the doctor everything if he gonna, you know, give you the right doses and give you the right analysis. You can't just be leaving out stuff because you're embarrassed or whatever. You know, there's going to be time where we're going to get sick and somebody's going to take care of us. I was watching Brian Gumbel the other day, and they were talking about a football player that he had so many concussions that he had a spinal injury. But she's there to help him out in his hardest time. She didn't just walk away. And that's the same thing we want for our wives, is not to walk away when we have our faults, but we shouldn't walk away when they have their faults too. And that's our call for tonight, fellas. I ended like that. Next week, Rodney is going to be up with him, and he's got a great topic. He sent it to me. And it is already on TalkShoe. It's going to be already set up tomorrow on the website, so you can go and see it. But next week's topic is Romancing the Stone, getting back to the basics of love and romance. That should be a very, very good one. At this time, I'm going to stop the recording, and we can go straight into open mic. And again, thanks for everybody who stayed on here to the call. We ended right now.